Merge by MP3 Toolkit.
I flap my gums every Sunday if nobody wants to learn anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. I told you last year, towards the end of the year, that God was going to start saying some things in here that's going to get you and the church in a better position to have more power in your life and in the life of the church. This is a subject I have just touched over the years, but have never really just took it apart and given it to you in a big dose. This is about the baptism of the Holy Ghost on your lives. Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and without the Holy Ghost, the new birth experience, church is just another religious gathering. The power of the church comes from the Holy Spirit. How many of you understand that? Nothing is done in the church that is supernatural except by the Holy Spirit. How many of you understand that? Amen? You must have the Holy Spirit to be born again. And then there's another level of the Holy Spirit above and beyond your new birth. Now, let me say this. This is probably the most controversial subject in the Bible. It really is. You have the people on one side of the aisle that say that thing is long dead and gone, and people who have this or think they've got this are just a bunch of quacks. Then you have the people on the other side of the aisle that have experienced the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you couldn't talk them out of it for nothing after that. Amen? Amen. It is controversial, and you must make up your own mind yourself. Well, will I go to hell if I don't have this second experience? No. This is not a heaven or hell matter. It is a power matter. Amen? Are you with me so far? There are two experiences with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to take these apart a little bit for you so you can see. One is, first, the new birth experience. The new birth means this old man had a conversion by the power of the Holy Spirit. He moved into my heart when I asked him. He took my old man and he rebirthed him. It's the new birth experience. Without it, you cannot go to heaven. That's just it. The only way you can get to heaven is confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, believing it with your heart, and then confessing it and receiving it by faith and believing that he moved in. Then he takes your flesh heart, he moves in, and he becomes one with your spirit. And from that day forward, Romans chapter 8 said, those that are led by the Spirit, they are children. Amen? Amen. Can't go to heaven without it. You can go to heaven without the second experience. But once you have heard the whole story, then you may not want to give up on the second experience. Amen? Because it takes you from the level of just being saved to opening up a whole new avenue of God's word, understanding, power, anointing, and so forth. And I'm going to talk to you about all these different things. Somebody kind of got a little upset with me last week and said, I'm not really interested in the speaking in tongues. And I said, you don't have to be. I qualified it from the very beginning. No, it was nobody sitting in here today. And other people simply have told me over the years, I'm afraid of it, Pastor. I'm interested, I'm curious, but I'm afraid of it. Now, let me just say this. It is nothing to be afraid of. Once you hear what it is and the different avenues of power and the different ways that God uses this to help you and the church, you'll have a little bit better understanding about why he gave us this gift. Amen? Now, I'm going to try not to go over too many notes, but I do need to catch just a little bit up. In Joel chapter 2, the scripture says this, that in the last days, God shall pour out his Spirit upon the whole face of the earth. And he gave a whole list of things that would happen. And one of those is the power of the Holy Ghost coming into people for salvation. But a separate part of that is the power of the Holy Ghost coming on a person. Now, you need to understand the difference. He comes into you for the new birth. He comes on to you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues and other gifts that operate with that. As a prophet of God, Ginger and I both have this call of God on our lives. That's what she did, as a matter of fact, a while ago. And I'll explain as we go what happened up here for some of you who don't understand. You get something from God that comes on you, and you give it out. But you cannot operate in it unless it comes on you. In the Old Testament days, kings had the anointing of God to come on them to do what they did in battle and so forth. The Holy Spirit didn't come into people till Jesus got here. How many of you understand that? Amen? Amen. So, there's a difference between the Holy Ghost coming on you and the Holy Ghost being in you. Before Jesus came, all those that died, they went to a place called paradise, or Abraham's bosom. It was the upper regions of Sheol. They could not go into heaven until Jesus came, went into the earth. While his body was in that grave, he went into hell. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He fought a huge battle. I'll teach on that sometime, but just how big that was. And then he went into the upper regions of Sheol, those people that had died before Calvary, and he preached the gospel to them by the power of the Holy Ghost, and he led them out. Okay, he led captivity to captivity, and he took them to heaven with him. That was the first time, other than three people, and that's another whole teaching, that ever entered heaven. Amen? Before Jesus came. Amen? So we find in Joel that he said, he prophesied long before it happened, in the last days. Well, guess where we are now? In the last days. Amen? We looked over there at Isaiah, and I want you to see this again. In the book of Isaiah, I was reading the other day, and the Lord gave me this. Many of you may know this, and some of you may not. Now, this is, again, by the prophet in the Old Testament. Amen? In the Old Testament, prophesying about a day to come in the last days. Joel prophesied about it. Others prophesied about it. And now here we see the prophet Isaiah giving groundwork of what's going to happen at a later date. He says in verse 9, "To whom shall he teach? And whom shall he make to understand?" What's the word? Doctrine. Okay? I'll explain this. "Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." Babies that are now ready to go a little higher. "For precept must be upon precept. Precept must be upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little." Now he precedes verse 11 with these sayings, referring to the fact that there's two types of things in the last days to come. There's religious teaching from man. Rules, regulations, line upon line, precept upon precept. Who's going to be able to teach these two? It's going to be the people that don't want to go any higher in God. They stay in the religious areas. Then the next verse, this is how he wants you to learn. "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." Religion does not set you free. Only the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the power of God can set you free. The grace of God, not man's rules. Are you with me? The Holy Ghost giving you stammering lips and another tongue can teach you more than any religious pastor anywhere, anytime, any place. Are you with me? Well, what do we need churches for? Because he set them up, told us to go, to grow, to be taught. But if all you're getting is a man's religion, you're not going to grow. You're going to stay the baby on the milk. Amen? And he tells us to grow up and be on the meat. Amen? Now, I'm not going to go into all this because we talked about it last week, and everybody who wants a copy of this, I'm giving the whole series away for no charge. Amen? Just let Michelle back there know, and she'll get you copies of this as we finish this up. Let her know you want the series, and she'll give it to you. Amen? But in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, Jesus taught. I want you to see that real quick. I do want you to see this little piece. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus, having died, been resurrected, and given kind of a little farewell to some people on the riverbank that day, he had been teaching and telling them about the Holy Ghost in his teachings for 3.5 years. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't see much of it mentioned in here. But how many of you believe Jesus at his word? Let's see what he said right here. He said, until the day in which, in verse 2, he was taken up, after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, you need to understand, Jesus could only operate doing what he did through the power of the Holy Ghost. He couldn't do these things as a man. He had to do these things as a spirit-filled man. How many of you understand that? To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. We talked about that last week, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining of the kingdom of God. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Now watch this. But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. In other words, the Amplified says, you heard me teach it. You heard me teach it. Jesus had apparently been teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit while he was in his ministry. Now, if you don't think that's about tongues or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, read the next verse. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized. Everybody say baptized. Baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. That's just talking about salvation. No. He's already talking to a whole lot of saved people who's received him on that riverbank. They've been following his ministry for 3.5 years. They've all already received him because they stand up, they go to a place to receive an additional portion of this gift. These are not unsaved people. These are believers. He says, now, y'all are all believers? I got another one coming for you here. You're going over to Jerusalem, and you tarry there, and I'm going to send the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, we look very quickly at Acts chapter 2. I'm not going to go through all these again today. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, in verse 1, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them. Everybody say appeared. You do understand, in these early days, these people needed something to sink their teeth in to see this was real. God didn't just fill them. He gave them visible proof. Now, the truth is, over the years, he has given visible proof of the presence of the Holy Ghost, even in the Old Testament. The Bible says, when they dedicated Solomon's temple, said the cloud of glory moved in so heavy that the priest couldn't even stand up to minister. We've had visible proofs over the years in our ministry where God visibly did things in the church in Nebraska and in the early days of this church where people could not deny that the Holy Ghost was present. Amen? Amen. Now watch. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now you know the rest of this. They were speaking in tongues, and it got noised abroad. People said, what's that noise? And all these different people in these next few verses of different dialects came and heard them speak in their language. Now, you need to understand they didn't know how to speak their language. And Peter stood up because he said, what is this that's going on? And it says, they're all drunk. Peter stood up in verse 14, and he said, ye men of Judea, and ye that dwell at Jerusalem, by this note unto you, hearken to my voice, words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing as up at the third hour of the day. In other words, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. The saloons aren't open. They're not tipsy. But this is that, verse 10, which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he duplicates chapter 2 of Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall see, prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my servants, on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. Now, all this is the power of the Holy Ghost. A church void of the Holy Spirit is a powerless church. A Christian void of the Holy Spirit is a powerless Christian. Amen? Now, hallelujah. Go down to Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 30. Acts chapter 2, really, very quick. Peter begins to preach the very first sermon of the now newly established, brand New Testament church. So he talks about a lot of things. He talks about David. He talks about Jesus. He talks about Judas. He talks about a lot of different things. And then he comes down here, and we get down here in verse, let's see. I want to get down to verse, what did I say? Where? Oh, I just lost my place. That's all right. We'll catch it in a minute. He talks about right here in verse 33. He says, what you're seeing and what you're hearing, verse 33, therefore by being by the right hand of God exalted, talking about Jesus, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he have shed forth these things which you now see and hear. Now listen to me. You may see a miracle, but what is it you hear? People praying in another language. People praying in another language. Now, we looked at this last week a little bit. The reason why these people heard them in their own language, and even though the disciples did not know how to speak that dialect, these men who heard them said to themselves, how is it we hear them speaking our dialect and they don't understand our dialect? However, listen to what they're saying. They're proclaiming the wondrous works of God. Now, I'm going to talk to you about this for the next couple of weeks. One of the reasons that God gives tongues is not for the believer, but for the unbeliever. Amen? For people, now, he gives it for us too, and we'll explain all that. But the first time we see tongues here, we see it not for the believer, but for the unbeliever. And if you read down to the end of that, it says, because they heard the wondrous works of God in their own dialect from men who did not understand how to speak their dialect, 3,000 people got saved that day and added to the church. That is just one avenue of the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues has several avenues that it will bless the church. And it will bless you as an individual. And I'm going to take a little time as we go over the next couple of weeks and try to explain a little bit of this to you. Amen? Amen. So let's pick it up down here in verse, let's see. Yeah, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Because he said, what have we got to do to have what you've got? Then Peter said, repent and be baptized, everyone, you name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, this portion is for salvation. But now look at the next verse. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Two things happen here. You get born again first, and then if you want more, there's a promise from the Father God. He will take you to another level. And who's the promise to? To you and to everyone behind you. He didn't say only to a few people, only to the pastors, only to the apostles. This is to anyone that desires it. Now, I don't know about you, but if God has something better for me, I want it. Amen? I don't want to fall short of the good things of God. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. So we've established over the last week and a little bit of this week that there's a gift. It's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That baptism has several avenues. Speaking in tongues to help the unsaved. We're going to see us speaking in tongues to help the saved. We're going to see us speaking in tongues to help the church. We're going to see different avenues of speaking in tongues and what it will do for the church. And we're going to see different avenues of speaking in tongues and what it will do for you in your personal walk. Amen? Amen. Do not be afraid of the gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It will take you in places and help you receive the will of God and understand the things of God that the person without it will never get to. Amen? All right, now, let's go today and pick it up down here with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, you all know and have read this, but I'm going to show a few things to you. Verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Paul here is writing to the church saying, look, you need to understand these things. As a believer, you need to understand these things. Now, let me just say this. The spiritual gifts, every single spiritual gift only operates by the Holy Spirit. You cannot operate a spiritual gift unless the Holy Spirit operates it through you. We have people in churches all over right now trying to operate in gifts that they don't have because they don't have the Holy Spirit operating through them. But some pastor or some person or some religious teaching has told them that you have that gift. I'll never forget in Nebraska. There was a man and his that come to our church, an older man and his wife, and they had started attending a second Bible study because they had got hungry, but they didn't listen. They got themselves confused. They went to a second Bible study, and somebody gave them a workbook and showed them how to find their spiritual gift, pick it out of the book, and then try to tell them how to operate in it. Now, that is so far in left field, it confuses people. Because then people step up and try to do things and say things they were never gifted for or qualified for, because you just can't pick a gift out and say, oh, that looks like me, or some man cannot come up and say, you're called to do this. If you do not have that gift operating through you by the power of the Holy Ghost, it's not real, but it can cause damage. Now, look what it says. You know, in verse 2, you were Gentiles. That means unsaved, or rather people other than the Jews. Carried away with these dumb idols. In other words, that's how the Gentiles used to worship. They worshiped idols. Even as you were led, that's how you used to do. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. All he's saying here is you can't even recognize salvation without the Holy Ghost. You can't go around saying, I'm saved, but having never received the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm talking about salvation. You cannot get saved without receiving Christ. You can't go around saying, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. It means nothing unless you receive. Step one of the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on to say this. Now, there are diversities of gifts. In other words, there's all kinds of gifts that God has given to the church and to the body of Christ. And these, there are differences. There's diversities of gifts, but watch. But the same Spirit, only one Spirit, he gives the gifts. One Spirit, different gifts. One Spirit, different gifts. There are differences of administrations. That's referring to different avenues of government in the body of Christ. The different offices, pastors' offices, things of that nature that govern the body of Christ. Now watch what it says. But it's still the same Lord doing the job. And there are differences of operations. Every one of these gifts does something different. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now we've learned three things already. There's different gifts, different governments in the church, and different operations of these gifts, but only one Holy Spirit that can make, move and operate through them. Amen? But the manifestation of the Spirit, watch this, is given to every man to profit with full. All that simply means, let me read this out of the Amplified. But to each one is given the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. In other words, church of about 80 people, when everybody's here, 90 people. God comes in and says, I'm going to give this one this gift. I'm going to give this one this gift. I'm going to give this one this gift. I'm going to give the pastor this gift. I'm going to give this person this gift. And he says, but they'll not be able to operate it unless I equip them, anoint them, and then move through them. Are you still with me? You cannot operate a gift on your own. It comes only by the Holy Spirit. Amen. How many of you understand that? Well, wait a minute, Pastor. What about the end of this chapter where he says, covet the best gifts? It didn't say you get the best gifts. It said, ask him for it. Ask him for it. And if he sees your heart sincere enough and you are committed enough, he may bless you with a larger gift to be involved in the church. Amen. But I can tell you this, people who's not committed, they're half-hearted Christians. He's not going to take his best gifts and let you come stand before the church and operate, because you'll do more damage to yourself and to others. I have seen people who did have a gift and those who didn't. And I have watched both of them ruin churches and ruin their lives. I'll never forget, we had a guy in Nebraska, wonderful young man. He was definitely full of the Holy Spirit, but he got hard to teach because he got so far off into his gift, he began to lose reality with the natural things, and he started drifting off into things that he didn't understand. And then it came to a point that people no longer were satisfied with the pastors of the church. They would go to his house where he would sit in his big easy chair, and they would seek prophecies and counsel from a guy that was not grounded. Are you with me with this so far? And as a result of that, every single one of them who began to go from the church to a man who was not grown in God, but had a gift that he tried to operate in way too soon, he messed up them, he messed up himself. Really did. And I saw that over and over again. We had a worship leader in our church in Nebraska, gifted pianist. She could sing like nobody's business. All of a sudden, she starts not showing up on Sunday mornings and starts giving me these excuses. Well, I had to go take care, so I had to go take care of that. Then we get to find out that all of a sudden she comes and she shows up and she starts trying to prophesy on the piano, playing music and prophesying, and just saying random off-the-wall stuff. And I pulled her aside and said, what are you doing? Well, I got this gift, and I'm going to use it, by God. The Lord ain't giving me no idea you got a gift to prophesy on the piano. Now, I've seen people prophesy on instruments, but God always lets the pastor know whether it's real or not, honey. You ain't got it. Well, who gives you the right to say, it doesn't matter. I'm the head of the church. And if God's going to give you a gift, he's going to clue the pastor in. How many of you understand that? Because my job is to keep order in the church so we don't get stupid and do stuff we shouldn't do. And we get labeled a bunch of Looney Tunes that nobody want to come to church. They already think we're crazy. Because we speak in tongues. See, he's a nutcase. And he's teaching a bunch of nutcases. Listen, you might as well just stay in church. All the neighbors know your car is parked outside now. Tough. It's too late. And so I got to questioning. I said, what have you been doing? Well, Pastor, over there about 150 miles away, there's this big old church out there. She named it. I said, yeah, we've been there before. Well, they had a real good pastor there, but he just wasn't open to the things of God. So another young man came in and started going behind and prophesying to people and this, that, and the other. And suddenly they run the pastor off. And now he is teaching people how to be, quote, how to be prophets. I said, okay, explain to me how this works. Well, you go up there and you take the course, and then at the end of the service, then they set aside time, and you go to them, and there's four or five prophets from different faiths and different backgrounds that's sitting around this table, and they all take turns. They come lay their hands on you. They each give a word, and then after the lunch break, you go back, and they will interpret the word they gave you. Oh, okay. Well, what makes you think you're a prophet? Because they told me I was. And did God tell you that? Well, they told me that. But did God tell you that? Well, they told me that. But did God tell you that? And if it did, he would clue your pastor in to help develop your gift. Did you know it so messed them people up they never got right with God again? They all dropped out of the church and they all became pastors, and they sat around in their little circles in a house once a week, and they did nothing but take turns laying hands on each other and giving thus saith the Lord. And when I left Nebraska, they were a bunch of screwed up people. You cannot operate in the gift unless God puts it on you. And just because he does, you have to be grown up in that gift, tutored in that gift, and brought along in that gift. And that's what your pastors are for. Well, I don't need no man telling me nothing. Well, then you're arguing with a son of God who set the church up and said in Ephesians chapter 4, God gave gifts unto men. Gifts, what were they? The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and teacher, to grow you up and help you find your place and hook up in the body to be a joint that supplies for the church. Now, some of you, whether you know it or not, right now, God is going to give you gifts. But I can't let you get up here and take my pastor. I've had people leave this church. Well, I got a gift to prophesy. I said, good. I can recognize it on you. I did. I told him. I said, I can recognize it on you. Well, when I'm ready, I'm going to stay. I said, no, you're not. I said, you look at me. Now, this has happened more than once over the years. Look at me and let me know. Nod, Pastor, I have a word. Now, here's how it works. If God has something for you to say, he will clue me in and say, give him the mic. But if the Holy Spirit puts a check in my heart, you ain't getting the mic. Why? Because I'm not going to let you mess up all these other people. You'll say something that somebody out there go, oh, my God, I've been waiting on that word. I'm selling my house. I'm quitting my job. I'm leaving my wife. I'm going to divorce my kids, my husband, and I'm going to go to Africa. Stupid. That's not how the gifts work. Are you with me so far? That's not how they work. Those things are not to direct you away from the church. Those things are to build up the church. Now watch what it says here. He says, for to one in verse 8 is given by the Spirit. To one. He didn't give everybody in the church the same gift. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another one, the word of knowledge by the same Holy Ghost. To another one, faith. We've all got faith, yes, but it's called the special gift of faith. Some people operate with what is called the gift of faith that operates on a higher level than common faith, simple faith. How many of you understand that? But you can't even operate in that unless the Holy Ghost comes on you to give you that special anointing for faith to do what he tells you to do with it. There's a gift of faith that God will bless someone with that goes onto a higher level. And there's the simple gift of faith that every believer's got because you couldn't even get saved without it. You still with me? Now watch. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Well, Pastor, I thought you told us we should all lay hands on people. We should. But there's operating in the simple gift of healing of faith to believe with people that you pray for, and then there's some who are called and given a gift that can only operate. Now, there's times that people come up here, and I know good and well the gift of healing is not no more operating on me at that moment than anything. But I can still take hands with them and believe with them in the simple gift of faith. They believe, I believe, we call down, we believe, we receive, and they can get healed. But when that heat starts through my hands or my wife's hands and my palms start getting hot or he starts moving on me and my whole body starts getting hot, I know there's a gift God is now going to move through me, and different ones that come up at that moment, they'll come up and receive. They will walk away with their healing. There's a difference. Are you still with me this morning? Amen. I carry that gift of healing. My wife does too. I'll never forget, at 5 years old, pastors recognized that I had this gift. You know how? Because I'd go around as a five-year-old little bitty boy and see the sick and walk up and say, in Jesus' name, be healed. And they would get up off of their sick beds, some off of their death beds. Are you bragging on yourself? I'm bragging on him. It can't operate unless he operates it through me. Well, how come it don't operate every time I come up to a pastor? You got to come up believing. All I am is a point of contact. I, by the power of the Holy Ghost, put my hands on you according to the Word of God in Hebrews and other places, and then God will anoint through me and release through me at that moment a healing that you can either block or you can receive. But the healing's still there if you'll take it. Are you still with me today? What's all this got to do with the power of the Holy Ghost? I'm telling you about it. What else has it got to do with the power of speaking in tongues? We're going to get to it all over the next 2 or 3 weeks. You need to understand all this works by one Spirit. Yeah, but what about tongues? Hang on just a second. Don't be so doggone impatient. I'll get there. Now watch. To another, verse 10, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. My wife and I both carry that prophetic gift. But now let me stop and say this. There are two types of prophecy. There is the simple gift of prophecy that any believer can do. What is it? Prophecy that the average believer can manifest in is something that's encouraging as they pray and speak out loud to other people. But then there's the gift of prophecy that comes on the prophet of God that gives godly instructions, godly this, gives directions, gives this, gives correction, whatever. And that cannot happen unless he comes on you and operates through you. I carry the gift, but can I say this? The gift does not operate in me all the time. It only operates as the Spirit wills. He comes in on Sunday morning just like you do. He's waiting on you when you get here. He sees who's late, who's on time, and who barely gets here or who don't come at all. And he's here, and he knows the needs, and he will manifest himself through myself, my wife, or other people so that you can get what you need. I prophesy under the Holy Ghost as he gives me utterance. But simple gift of prophecy. Go back in the Old Testament, look. They danced before the Lord, they sang before the Lord, and the word said they prophesied, dig it up, it says they edified one another. They just simply blessed each other, speaking God's word to each other. But that's different from the power of prophetic utterance that God gifts certain individuals with. Are you still hanging in there with me this morning? Still ain't got nothing done about no tongues, Pastor. Well, just a second here. I'm just about to get there. Now watch. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. Oh, by the way, your pastor's operating that too. What does that mean? We can discern things in you. You might think you're hiding stuff. And sometimes God does hide it from us. I think he does that so I can sleep better at night. Do you know what it's like to go to bed and take 100 people to your bed at night and all their problems and all their complaints and all their gripes? I'm serious. How much sleep? You see these bags under my eyes, around my eyes? You did that to me. Because I can't sleep. I'm sitting up there and I have to start praying. I call you out before God before I can go to bed. I'll channel surf because you keep coming over and over and over in my mind. Because God puts you on my heart as a pastor, as a shepherd, to pray for you. And when I'm done and it's released, then he lets me drift off. But sometimes you interrupt my sleep. I'll be sleeping away, finally having dozed off, saying, thank you, Lord, I need this rest. And I wake up an hour and a half, 2 hours later, and the Lord says, start praying. For what? You know what this person has been up to or what they're about to get into. I want you to stop it. How do I stop it? I can't stop it. You intercede on their behalf first. So you cost me sleep again. Are you mad at us, Pastor? No, it comes with the territory. Our president of the United States, the new one, the one that's going out and so forth, found out you have a lot of sleepless nights if you're going to lead. I hear our new president sleeps 3 to 4 hours a night. I think he's the brother to my wife. They got to be related somewhere. The woman don't sleep. She's up. It does not matter. If we get called out to a hospital and we're out all night long and we get in an hour before daybreak, I'm not saying this just playing. I'm telling you the God's truth. She'll lay down for 30 or 40 minutes. She's up and she's gone all day long working. She just, as long as I've known her, a 4 hour sleep night's a big night. 5 hours a really big night. 6, she's sick. Me, don't even look at me until 5 or 6 hours under my belt. I need 4 pots of coffee and some time to gather my thoughts. I get up every morning, grab my pillow, go into my living room, prop up my feet, sit there quietly, turn on Bill Winston or Kenneth Copeland, and let it feed me because I got to get awake and get myself pulled together for the day. Her, she's already been up. She's done cast out 50 devils. She's done prayed over the whole church. She's done fed herself God knows how much word. And she's waiting with loaded arms when I walk in that room. I sneak around going, oh, God, is she in a good one today or I'm about to get the whole thing? Do you know how many sermons I get in the week and don't even ask for them? She's the one person that can take anything I say and turn it into a message to me. All right, guys, how many of you guys out there got a wife can do the same thing? Careful when you raise your hand. I see those hands going up around them arms. Now watch this. Leo didn't say a word. He kind of nodded. I'm kidding. Is that true, Leo? No messages? Boy, you're being nice today. I'm kidding. I'm just teasing. Now watch this. Let's finish this up. I hadn't really planned on going this whole way this morning. Now watch. To one discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of what? Tongues. But it says to another pastor, diverse kinds of tongues. I thought you said this whole thing was about anybody could speak in tongues. This, again, is a different use of the gift of tongues. Now, I'm going to say this. There is a tongue for the unbeliever to hear the wonderful works of God while you're speaking in another dialect that you don't even understand. Somebody may walk through those doors. They may have a different language than what you have. And God uses you or me or Pastor Ginger or somebody else, and he gives us a word in tongues, and one person sitting back there hears it, understands, says, oh, my God, how did they know? The wonderful works of God. God can help them get saved and come to know him. That's one way. Then the tongues were just read here to another, not to the whole church, but to another in the church. Diverse kinds of tongues. What does that mean? He will move through an individual or more than one individual he gives a gift to edify and bless the church. To another, it says right behind that, the interpretation of tongues. You've heard me up here give a tongue and look at Pastor Ginger or somebody else and say, have you got the interpretation for that? And when they don't, I'll sit there and listen to my spirit, and 9 out of 10 times God will give me the interpretation, because God rarely speaks in a tongue that he does not give you the understanding of. I have seen that happen. But 9 out of 10 times, if he gives a tongue, he's going to give me, Ginger, or someone that's got that gift of interpretation, the interpretation for what purpose? So you're not sitting there going, what? Because if he speaks, he's got something to say, and he wants the church to know what it is. You still with me? Okay. I'll watch. But all these, verse 11, worketh that one and selfsame Spirit. One Holy Ghost working these gifts, dividing to every man. Ooh, wait a minute, every man. The full purpose and the full will of God is that every person in the church has a certain gift to operate in. Now, these are not all the gifts, by the way. These are the highlight gifts. Romans talks about other gifts. Other portions of the word talk about other gifts. Every one of you, if you hook up with God completely, he actually wants to operate by the power of the Holy Ghost coming on you a gift that will bless the church. You still with me? Pastor, how come you hadn't taught all these things before? Because you wasn't ready. But when the Lord started speaking to me last November, he said, now I want you to get this church ready. I said, for what? He said, just get the church ready. Start teaching on the power of the Holy Ghost. And this morning and last night, he spoke something else to me too. I got to go home and do some research. He told me to start speaking on the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And then he gave me a couple of illustrations. I'm going, okay, but that's more than I really know at the moment. He said, yeah, at the moment. When you're done, when you're ready, when you're prepared, you'll understand why I want you to teach this church on the kingdom of God. Oh, you talking about heaven? No, I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come to earth in this church. The kingdom of God is not what? It's not bread. It's not eat. Guess what it is? It's the power of God to the church. And the different things he can build in the kingdom. Did you know if we're all operating in a place we're supposed to operate in, we're supposed to turn neighborhoods upside down. We're supposed to go into places like this and take it over spiritually. We're not supposed to be the little church in the corner back here that people say, there's a church back there? I didn't know that. Do you know how many times I've had to tell people, yeah, unfortunately, we're the best kept secret in Vernal. I hate that. I guarantee you, if this church catches fire, you won't have to say a word. They'll come by the power of the Holy Ghost. They'll be drawn to the flames. It'll be like a moth to the light. They'll come here because God's will bring them here. His Spirit will bring them here because you'll have something by the power of the Holy Ghost as a body to offer them. Healings and miracles will be nothing. A move of the Holy Ghost will be nothing. Why? Because Joel told us that. Peter told us that in the book of Acts chapter 2. In the last days, God will pour out his Spirit upon the face of the earth. We're there. But only the churches that want more of God will get it. I'm sick of seeing sick people, myself included. With all the anointing that God has given me, and I struggle myself to get healing sometimes. You know what the Lord showed me in Ginger the other day? You ain't gonna like what I'm gonna say. But one of the reasons why Ginger and I have struggled to get our healing is because behind the scenes, shall I say it? The Lord just began to speak this to us. That there are those that dislike her and I so much that they're taking pot shots at us. And that's allowing the enemy, it's like taking a voodoo doll and sticking pins in it. That's allowing the enemy to go after us. Now, you may or may not believe that, but I can show you that in Scripture. Strife. Envy, anger, mad, upset, didn't get my way, not doing what I want you to do, Pastor, so forth. And you may not even know that you're doing it. I said, you realize that some of these people may not even know they're doing it. Well, how can I be doing it, Pastor? Just being just a little bit irritated and going out and talking to each other and saying stuff like that. Well, Pastor, I think they've left the faith. They've not done. Or, you know, here's the one I've heard the most lately. I've heard this 3 or 4 different times. I got this last Sunday after church. You're boring. We don't listen anymore because you're boring. Okay, I'm sorry. I told these people, if you think I'm boring, find another church. Because it's not about me. It's about the Holy Ghost in me. And you just call the Word of God and the anointing of God boring. That gets you in dangerous territory. If you have anything to say about Pastor and Pastor Ginger and Pastor Pierce or any leadership in this church, let it be something upbeat. If you don't have anything good to say, don't get yourself in trouble with God and say anything, because you cause your own self and your pastors to be hit by the enemy. I have not been able to figure out why I've had one surgery after another surgery after another surgery. I've got faith. I've got all the faith it takes and still going and getting cut on. I just got told the other day, I've got arthritis in both feet. The left foot is so bad they won't open it up. I'm sick of that kind of stuff. I want the power of God to heal people in this church. Others get healed, I got to go get cut. My left foot has grown so much arthritis in it right now that you've seen me. Don't say that you hadn't. If you've been here at all the last 3 months, you've seen me struggle up here sometimes to walk or to get off the platform or to get back on it. I've just been confessing every day, confessing every day, confessing every day. I can confess till Jesus comes back, but if our own church people take pot shots, I'm not going to get my healing so easily. Now, I'm not blaming any of you. That's not what I'm saying. You're missing my point. We've got to get this church back to the Holy Spirit. Why do you think God had me to teach 5 straight Sundays to start this year off on the love walk? Because nothing works without the love walk. That's where it all starts. Then he said, now you start teaching on the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's finish this up this morning. I thought we were going to get further than this. How many get anything out of this? Let me see your hands. All over the building, let me see your hands. How many mad at the pastor? Don't be, please. Verse 11. But all these gifts worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, or the Holy Spirit does it all, dividing to every man, not just part of us, every man, some of you, more than one gift, severally, or several, as he will. Not some man, not some workbook, not some shop you can go take, all by the power of the Holy Ghost. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, all these gifts operate. The truth is, the New Testament church is supposed to be set up to where it's not just the pastors who can lay hands on people. It's not just the pastors who can operate in gifts. It's not just the pastors who can do the things, because the truth is, every person that's called to this church is supposed to operate in different gifts. Can you imagine what would happen in this church, or any church, if the whole church got full of the power of the Holy Ghost? Amen. We would not have to recruit people, beg people, knock on their doors, are you mad at me? Why are you not coming to church no more? Go out there and get on the streets and pass out cards. Because the Holy Ghost would draw them here. It's the truth. There should never be an empty seat in a Spirit-filled church. Never. Never. We should have to be taken in two services, three services. Build more seats out here. Because when the power of God is there, people will flock to it. What about the non-believers? You're always going to have those. Always going to have those. You didn't say much about speaking in tongues today. No, I'm talking about the gifts right now. And one of the gifts is speaking in tongues. But like I said, there's more than one speaking in tongues. And well, next week I'm going to break those down. Different avenues of speaking in tongues and what they will do for you individually and what they will do for the body of Christ. See, we're not just set back here in this little corner back here just so we can have church every Sunday. We're not affecting who we should be affecting. I wish I could get a hold of it and get it on the screen, but I can describe it to you. Somebody shot me a picture the other day, and it was a church of about 15, 20,000 people packed. And the caption said, "This is what happens when no truth is taught." And then behind it was a church about our size. Said, "This is what happens when the truth is taught." Because not everybody wants truth. To this day, not everybody wants truth. Because to get truth means I've got to look at myself, acknowledge myself, and do some changes. 20-something thousand people. This is what happens when truth is not taught. They'll flock to places like that because the pastor doesn't challenge them. He doesn't teach them certain things. It's just about putting bigger buildings up, more people in the platform, more people in the pews, more money in the bank, more television. Now, not all of them are that way. Some of them are good. But this is what happens when you refuse to compromise the truth. People who don't want the truth don't stay. They'll find a reason to get mad at me and Ginger. They'll find a reason to get mad at one of you. They'll find there's something wrong with the church. They're never happy, never satisfied. You can't do anything to please them. Why? It's not the person or the church or the pastors. It's because the truth pricks at them. Stand to your feet. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Do your pastor a favor. Start praying for him, because if I just don't get healed in a couple of months, they're going to open my left foot so that I can stay up here. And that means I'll be, he said, 8 to 12 weeks on Ginger's little scooter. I tried to ride it the other day, see how that feels. I'm going, oh my God, I can't imagine doing this for 8 to 12 weeks. I don't know how she did it. So how can I do this for you, Pastor? Pray. Believe. Help me get the arrows that's coming at me and her off of us right now. Did you know part of your job as a church is to protect your pastors? I was talking to a young man today about recruiting him for the usher's department. And I said, one of the things, the first and primary thing as an usher that you have is to protect the anointing and protect your pastors. Why? Because pastors get attacked. I can tell you instances of pastors getting beat up. I can tell you instances of pastors getting black eyes in the healing line. True stories. True stories. I'll never forget one day when I preached. God is my witness. I don't have time to tell you all these stories. But I'll tell you one before we go home. I preached. A young man and his wife, or girlfriend, they weren't husband and wife, was sitting on the left-hand side of me, about where Kale and Jess is sitting right there, second row, just about like that. And God moved on me to give an altar call. I didn't know who it was for. He moved on me to give a salvation altar call. The little girl walked to the front, gave her heart to Jesus. He stood there. I didn't push it. I just opened the altars. She got born again. Nothing happened other than that. A few people got prayed for. We walked out, dismissed the services, walked out, and all of a sudden I had this guy grab me by the back of my shirt. And he spun me around. And he said these words. They're still imprinted in my mind. How dare you? What? That's the way he said it. How dare you? I said, what are you talking about? He said, you had no right. And I said, right to what? To talk that way. Look at my girlfriend. I didn't want her up there. I said, I'm sorry, sir. All I did was follow the Holy Ghost. He reached up and grabbed me by the shirt this way on the front. All of a sudden, the old Pierce came out in me. True story. I'm not going to stand here in this platform and lie. And before I even realized it, I had grabbed him by the shirt, flipped him around, and shoved him up the wall. His feet was at least 6 or 8 inches off the wall. I said, you ever put your hands on me again, you're going to have dare me. I said, you touch me one more time, and I'll pick you up and toss you on your ear at this church. Take your hands off me. If you don't like what we do here, get your butt out. He did. And on the way, I had Bless You Jesus come across the back finger. And then when it was all said and done, I go, what did I just do? Another time we was ministering, Jared and Joe and Stephen Wayne, this one guy wanted the church, and he was trying to attempt a coup in the church. And I knew he was going behind our backs and saying some stuff. I'll close up with this, I promise. And he got up at the end of the service, or towards the middle of the end of the service, he said, it's time for you to go. What? We think it's time for you to go. Just real loud over the whole church. And I said, well, I'm sorry about what you think. I'll go when God tells me to go, but I'm not going because you tell me to go. He looked around and said, how many of y'all want Pastor Pierce to go? Well, needless to say, they were all too many cowards to lift their hands up, if they're part of that. So he started to charge the platform. Well, the old Pierce got in me. I took my suit off. In those days, I wore suits. You guys have ruined me in this blue-collar town. I would have never darkened the grounds of a church without a full suit on. Anyway, he started towards the platform. Before I realized it, I was taking my jacket off and going down the aisle. And then Joe and Stephen Wayne, one of my sons, I think Jared was there, I can't remember, they grabbed him, pulled his arms behind him, and tossed him out the door. True story. You need to protect your pastors. We're the people who speak into you God's word. We didn't ask for this job. He interrupted some perfectly good lies and brought us here. But I love you guys, and I love what we do. Nobody enjoys preaching more than I do. Why? Because you just want to be in the front? No. I can't explain to you what comes on you when you're preaching the gospel. You go to another level, another dimension in God. It's amazing. Some of you will experience that one day. All right, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I know I didn't get much around to the gift of the Holy Ghost in tongues, but we need to lay foundation today about the gifts all operating, including the tongues, and some differences for tongues coming. That they're all one gift from you for the church. And they're not meant to just operate through me and Ginger. They're meant to operate through the body, Father. But Father, we need your wisdom to help young men and women to receive their gifts as you give them, not as we try to put them on them. Now, I know the gifts are manifested. You'll go to the pastors and you'll say, okay, I want you to go lay hands on this one and impart gifts. That's in your word. But you'll give Ginger and I the wisdom to know how and when and where and what kind. And then help us to direct them and guide them and grow them for the purposes of the benefit of the edification of the body of Christ. And when we get to the end of this for just tongues for personal reasons, then help us to be able to, for all those who want a different level in you, to do what the word says, lay hands upon them that they may receive. In Jesus' name, give them understanding of this incredible gift. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, I hope you were pleased with this morning, Father. If not, you can correct me when I get home. In Jesus' name, amen. Need my ushers up here. Let's take up our... I'm 10 minutes over, and I apologize for that. No, I don't.